This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, radio listeners. Praise the Lord. I pray that your day is off to a blessed start, and we are grateful. We're thankful. We honor God this morning for another day's journey. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, the word that shall come forth will be a blessing to you. Not only a blessing, but it will be life-changing. So we thank God on today. And before we get into the word, thank you, Sister BJ, for allowing me this opportunity. I'm your host, Reverend E. June Addison, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to bring you a word from the Lord, a word that will feed us, a word that will sustain us, a word that will keep us and set us on the path of righteousness and holiness before our Father God. I do want to ask, before we get into the lesson for today, that we be prayerful, that you keep the young man that drowned, keep him and his family, keep his family, that mother, keep her in your prayers. The officer that was that lost his life on yesterday, keep that family in prayer. You know, we really don't have to know who the person may have been, and it may be people in distant country, cities, land, but we do know that there is no distance in prayer. We can go to our Heavenly Father and lift up the various needs and conditions and situation going on in our community, going on in our city, in this city, that's going on around us, in our families. And I just really want to impress upon the believers, the Christians, even those who potential Christians, to have a prayer life. Always, always. The Bible does teaches us that we should never cease from praying. So we just lift up all that is going on around us and in the world today. We lift them up to the Heavenly Father. The old church had this song, "If thou withdrew thyself from me, where shall I go?" So in that vein, we know that God, when we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us, and we do that through prayer, through praise, through worship, just drawing nigh to him because we truly need him. We transition now to the book of Philippians, and we transition to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be talking from verse 9 through 11. And this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the saints, as he says in verse 1, to the saints at Philippi. And he writes this letter and pens this letter from prison, a Roman prison, while he's awaiting his trial. So as we look at Philippians 1, 9 through 11, the primary purpose of Paul's letter was, number one, to thank them for their partnership. And all of us know Philippians 3, that says, God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But before we get to that, Paul gives us some in-depth, some profound lessons that we should learn before we get to knowing that God shall supply all of our needs. And what he talks about in verse 9 through 11, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day Jesus comes, Christ comes, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And verse 11 is our focus this morning. The Christians at Philippi was being persecuted as throughout the land, the Roman Empire. They were being persecuted, and Paul was concerned and wanted them to continue to grow, continue to keep the faith, continue to press their way through the persecution and grow and mature in the Lord Jesus, grow and mature in their walk in spite of the persecution. So he urges them, as this message urges us today, that we are to grow and mature as Christians in spite of all that we go through, in spite of all we see and hear in this very present world, and we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, we're all familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. But here, we want to focus on the text that says, be filled with fruits of righteousness. And being filled with the fruits of righteousness refers to being in right alignment, right standing with God, living. It's the life, it's the standard. Fruits of righteousness is the right and right living and the standards of God by which we live holy lives, holy standards that reflects God's Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. My brothers and my sisters, many profess Christ. But my question to us this morning is your profession standing true and in alignment with how you're living? Think about that. Think on that. Righteous fruits are only produced by our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have that relationship, we do the things that relationship requires for it to be in right alignment with the Word of God, the standard of God, and what the Bible teaches us. And how God wants us as the saints, as those who will become saints, to live fruits of righteousness. Not just say, not just confess or profess Jesus, but that righteous fruit is produced out of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. This righteous fruit was not given to the world. It was not given to unbelievers. It was not given to just anybody. But righteous fruit is divine assignment that has been given to the church. Righteous fruit ought to be the character of the church. Fruit that emanates, that comes from our true relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the saints, and he distinguishes them from the world because Jesus Christ is in them. He's in us, producing righteous fruits. You know, when I prepared for this for this teaching, the Holy Spirit showed me something. He said, anybody can demonstrate Galatians 5:22. They can have joy. They can have peace. Some what we think is peace. They can show forth or even pretend to have the fruits of the Spirit. So anyone can produce, can act like they have the fruits of the Spirit, which we know love. How many times people have say they love you and it turns out to not be love at all? They pretend, or they can act like they have joy, act like they have peace, act like they're gentle, act like they're good in motives and intent. They can act like they have temperance. He said, but only through a relationship, true relationship with the Lord Jesus, is true fruits of the Spirit and fruits of righteousness produced. Only Jesus in our lives, for real, can produce the kinds of fruit that pleases God, that honors God, that demonstrates to the world that Jesus lives in us. He walks with us, talks with us. We live and have our being in the Lord Jesus. Only he can do that. Only he can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And we must walk in what God has assigned to us, the divine assignment of produce fruits of righteousness. That we are to live fruits of righteousness at all times. At all times. When the line is long and you're getting frustrated, when someone has offended you, when someone has maybe said something that has hurt you, that have broken your heart, that have fractured a relationship, are at all times the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. It does not change because of external things that affects the fruit. Oh, brothers and sisters, go with me to Philippians 3, Philippians 3, 8 and 9. Yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That it's the fruits of righteousness in the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, all that I've accomplished, all that I have done, all my degrees, all my education, all that material things you may have, count them as loss. Count them as nothing. He says, count it as dung, as nothing, so that I might win Christ. And that I, through that kind of living, I may gain Christ by faith. Oh, my God, the righteousness, not my own, not what I think is righteous, not what I believe, not my opinion, but Paul says, through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, we as the church have the assignment, and the church is not the building. It's you and me. It's us who have said that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We who have him in us, God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Word in us, living that kind of life, that the world may see that we are spirit and light in this dark world. It's fruits of righteousness is the inward evidence that we no longer live the old sinful life, but there has been a godly, righteous change. True repentance has taken place in our hearts, mind, soul, and spirit. And what happens? It shows up on the outside. It shows up in our actions, in our behavior. It shows up in our language. Oh, my Jesus, that's a whole nother sermon right there. It shows up in us, through us, and it brings glory to God. How are you standing today? How are you speaking today? How are you encouraging today? Is it glorifying God? Are the fruits of your life of righteousness that is produced through your relationship with Jesus Christ, is it glorifying God today? Is what you're doing, is what you're saying, is what you're thinking, is how you're treating others glorifying God today? Look at Ephesians 3 and 17. And you know, I always say, I pray you have your Bible, pencil, and paper, so that when even off the airways, you can go back and study the word, and God will speak to your heart concerning fruits of righteousness. Ephesians 3 and 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Oh, my goodness. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why do you place so much power and emphasis and teachings and commandments on love? You know, if you ask him, he'll answer you. And he said to me, because there is no love in hell. And if we are to love one another like Christ said love, there is no way the enemy can do anything to deceive us, beguile us, bring anything before us that will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The only way he can get us to lose faith, lose hope, and not love one another, because he wants to take us to hell, because there is no love in hell. So there must be love, like Jesus said love, in us, because God is love, and where God is, there is love. Oh, brothers and sisters, let Christ dwell in your hearts. Be rooted and grounded in him, rooted and grounded in love. That's what produces fruits of righteousness through the Lord Jesus, rooted and grounded in us. You know, there was a song back in the 60s that the group sang. You know, they encouraged people and they would say, it's your thing, do what you want to do. Now, don't sing the rest of that song, but just hang on to what I just said. It's your thing. They encourage people. It's your thing. You can do what you want to do. But the Apostle Paul's letter to these Philippian saints, Paul would have a major problem with that. I think Paul would quote, as we say sometimes, Houston, we have a problem. Because fruits of righteousness is not you doing your own thing. We just read a moment ago that it's not your own righteousness, but it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What kind of love, what kind of fruits is your life producing? What kind of fruits is emanating from your life? In this present world, in this Western America, everybody wants to do their own thing, their way, their rights. You know, your opinion, my opinion, And that's not the life, the kind of life that produces righteous fruit that Paul is talking about, that Brother Paul is writing to us about, to the saints as well as us. Only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit, the fruits of righteousness emanates from our lives. Sometimes you show up in places, and because of Christ in you, you don't have to open your mouth, but people know you are a godly person. You are a sweet-spirited person. You don't have to. Sometimes I walk in a room, I don't even say anything. And it's not that they may know me, but it's that what emanates, what comes from my spirit when any of us who are in Christ and fruits of righteousness and fruits of the Spirit emanates from us, they already know who we are and what type of spirit we have. Now, the opposite is also true. Somebody walk in mad, somebody walk in a room with an attitude, or somebody speak to you with an attitude or with a negative spirit. Don't you know that spirit? Even when they don't even say anything or do anything, you can identify that spirit that's emanating from them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Christ in us, church today, we have to be the ones. We have been given the divine assignment. We have been given the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that must show the world, demonstrate to the world, live before the world, talk before the world, profess Christ before the world as having fruits of righteousness because we have a relationship true and rooted and grounded in Christ by faith in love. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Oh, my God, that's a whole nother sermon right there. It's not you that saved you. Oh, my God. It's not you that brings forth the character of Jesus Christ. It's not self-effort. It's not reading a motivational book. It's not reading a how-to book, although there are some good ones out there that can be a support. But it is through Christ. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Fruits of righteousness is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. And it is Him, not of ourselves. Oh, you know, we hear people say, oh, he's a good person, she's a good person. But, you know, at one point, you know, the Lord had me understand. He said, heaven and the relationship of me and Jesus to a believer is not being a good person. It's being a prepared person. That heaven is not for good people. It's a prepared place for prepared people. How do we do that? Through a relationship rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus and in love. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Your righteousness is not of you being a good person. It's not of you minding your own business. Don't bother nobody. I stick to myself. I just go about doing my own thing. No, it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Because if we could do it ourselves, we would boast. I did it. We would boast. I did it. I'm a good person. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word that causes our lives to produce righteous fruit. Look at Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A good person. See, being a good person, and I understand what people mean when they say good person, but God wants to elevate us from thinking, you know, good works, good person, don't bother anybody, just live my life, I'm good. He's elevating our mind. He's renewing our mind to not think good person, but to think righteousness in Christ Jesus. It seems right to do thus and thus. It seems right to us to just go about our mind our own bit, but the end of that good, is it glorifying God? Is it out of a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it our eternal salvation? Fruits of righteousness enables us to present the evidence that Jesus lives in us, that God is our Heavenly Father, that we have been set apart from the world, from our old life, our old self, our old sinful ways, our old past, our old mind, the Bible says, our old self. Oh, brothers and sisters, our sinful self. Fruits of righteousness is the evidence we've been set apart for God's purpose, to glorify Him and not just merely do external acts of good works, as we spoke a moment ago, but be transformed. Our lives are transformed and our lives glorify God. You know, in Revelations 4 and 11, Revelations 4 and 11, it tells us that thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything God made was created to bring Him glory. So the fruits of righteousness in us through Christ Jesus by faith is in us when we have a personal relationship with Him. It's created in us to produce fruits of righteousness that brings honor to God. Oh, brothers and sisters. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come out. Come out, church. Come out of worldliness. Come out of your opinion. Come out of demonstrating fruits that's not of Jesus Christ. Come out of bringing forth fruits that's not fruits of righteousness or fruits of the Spirit. Come out, church. Come out from among the world. Come out. You are set apart. You are divinely created and given the nature of Jesus Christ. We are to grow and mature in Jesus Christ. Oh, well, you know, Rem June, it's hard. No, it's not, because you know the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if it's hard and we can't do it, then we can tear that page out of the Bible. Oh, my brothers and sisters, come out. Come out from among the world. Come out and be salt and light. Hallelujah, Jesus, glory to God. I'm calling for the church to come out of the world and not allow the world to dictate, oh, my God, how the church, who's been mandated from Jesus Christ, God the Father, and ruled by the Holy Ghost, to demand or command how the church is supposed to respond to worldliness. Come out, church.